The Cultural Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Delacoli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring cultural back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Cultural Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The intro song is Fireworks by Jazar. Midweek madness in the Serie A. Roma, Milan dropping points, tying 1-1 today. Juve, Inter, Lazio picking up wins. We still have to wait on Napoli to see if they'll be able to clinch the Scudetto tomorrow. They basically just need one point in Udine, against Udinese tomorrow. Here on the couch, guys, Adriano, Gianni, Nicholas, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. Just had a nice, delicious meal. I'm ready to go. Ready to like take a breather, talk some calcio, enjoy myself. How about you guys?
Same.
Not too bad.
Same.
Not too bad. Tired, but good.
But I did say Juve did win today, so I think that was, I think it was their first win in four, I believe. So
first win in four. Jeez,
first actually, win in four.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Allegri, the Lecce man, getting those points against Lecce, not against. Not so much against the big dogs. We'll see on Sunday, though. We'll see Atalanta on Sunday. That's gonna be a good game. I think there's some pretty good games coming up. I think Milan Roma, no?
Oh yeah, there's Milan Roma already passed.
It's Milan Lazio.
Yeah, Milan Roma passed this past weekend.
Oh okay. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. We'll start off for you guys. Team, yeah, it's Milan Lazio Roma Inter. There you go. We'll start with your guys' teams. Milan 1-1 today against Cremonese, late goal that needed to tie it. And then Roma, another 1-1 against Monza. So two games that both Milan and Roma should have won, obviously. Disappointing, especially with the way the season's going, with the battle for the top four right now. Inter did the job, 6-0 against Hellas. But I don't know who wants to start talking about venting about your teams, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a venting thing. It's more of like I have tempered jokes. I have like tempered expectations, because like I was talking about this with Richard yesterday, how Roma just seems to have been placing like a massive focus on Europa League rather than the league right now. And also Monza themselves are not like a pushover team, even though yes, their name is not big like other teams. You have to look at who's behind the squad, you know, like who's in charge, you know, Berlusconi et al, you know what I'm saying? And they have a lot of former stars from different teams. So they still have guys that are able to be key players whenever they want to be. But like I said, right now, Roma seems to have its head in a different place. That's why I'm not surprised with the 1-1 draw. And you know what? At this point, if they miss out on top four, but the way to get into Champions League is winning Europa, I mean, I don't mind. But
I feel like that's a bit more realistic, right?
At this point, with the way they're playing for top four, I don't disagree.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, it's even a bit more realistic than seeing one of the final teams winning it, you know, so winning the Champions League to get into the Champions League next year. So, but again, I think it's a credit to Monza there. You know, officially safe, a relegation team that many people might have thought City for another year, tied with Bologna and Torino, I think, on points at 45, a point behind Fiorentina in eighth place right now. So I think it's a big credit to Palladino. He was a man of the month for the month of April. It's a big kudos to what he's been able to do, a young Italian coach, and I think more guys like this is what kind of like what we need for these mid-table, bottom of the table teams to kind of get. And yeah, for Monza it was huge. In terms of Milan's stuff, yeah, you guys are right. I mean, for me at least, it's simply not good enough. I mean, 2-1 draws, leaving it late in both matchups. I mean, the Roma Milan match. I mean, if you didn't watch the full 90 minutes, it didn't really matter because all the action happened in stoppage time anyway. So, you know, I guess it was destined to be a draw just the way things were going in that match. But from a Milan point of view, I mean, like I said, just not good enough. You know, if it's the individual, if it's the collective, just as a whole, I think, you know, in these matchups, which is because Milan's kind of really come out to play a bit stronger against top-level teams and kind of struggling against these bottom feeder teams. So, yeah, it's just disappointing for Milan's sake. I mean, they're shooting themselves in the foot to try to get back into top four, which this club needs to be able to keep this project going and keep this together, this this project. With Milan going forward. So disappointing. I mean, today's performance is just, I guess, you know, in terms of people seeing for the tactics and for the rotation, it's maybe a bit harsh, but at the same time, he rolled the dice with a change of lineup, and it backfired on him once again. We saw what happened in the Bologna match a couple weeks ago, 10 players, but you know, besides Magnan in that matchup, backfired, got the 1-1 draw today. Not to that same degree, but still the same result occurs, 1-1 draw, and a desperate 1-1 draw at the end there. So, yeah, like I said, just not good enough. Need to get really on page. I don't know if they're looking kind of similar maybe to what Johnny's saying for Roma, kind of focusing on the Europa League. I don't know if Milan's really setting their sights for the Champions League derbies that they're going to have to face. But again, it's a shame to have to, you know, think that you want to put like your eggs in that one basket, like we always say on the pod. So it's not going to be easy. I mean, like Nick said to open the show, guys, it's a race to the finish for the top four, and it's not going to get any easier down the stretch. So I'm just hoping for Milan's sake that, you know, they continue on a positive path, both on both fronts, in Europe and in the league. So we'll see what happens.
You mentioned Monza. You just mentioned Monza. Paladino just got coach of the month for April, 10th place, 45 points. And they had a rough start to the season, but I think they're kind of where people were more or less expecting, right, at the beginning of the season. They got a lot of big names for a relegation team, or at least a team coming up from City of B in the offseason. You know, they obviously have money, right, with the ownership group that they have, Galliani and Berlusconi. They obviously have money they could spend on players that other teams coming up from City of B can't afford. And look, it's paying off, but sometimes what happens with these smaller teams, and they have a good season, and then they lose a bunch of guys, and then they can't recover the next season, and they're back in City of B in two seasons from now. But do you guys think Paladino would get an offer from a bigger team? Do you think there's players that could move on to bigger teams? Like, obviously, like Juve, from a Juve perspective, Ravella is out there on loan. And, I mean, we all hope he's going to come back next season as a full-time player for Juve. So I think that already there's one starter that they're going to lose. Do you think... already looking forward that this could be a case of Monza getting dismantled?
I don't think Monza, like, think about it. A lot of these players on that team were basically players that were on major teams that just, you know, couldn't hack it. You know, they couldn't they couldn't sustain themselves onto that roster and onto those rosters. Now, I think the only teams that would be coming back knocking on their doors are teams that are looking to find quick fixes for replacements, that they already have like a familiarity with this player. So they'll know what to expect when they have them on their team, on their roster. I think that's from the player's perspective. From management perspective, I mean, probably. But I think it's too soon of a note. Like, only it's their first season up, you know. It's like I feel like as if maybe it might be a 2-year thing before they start looking at, okay, well, what can we go... what can we do further Right now, they're in a top 10 spot, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't checked the standings this morning, or today's results. They're at 10. They're in a top 10 spot. So for them, this is a success. If you're Monza, you know, first season in Serie A, you finished in the top half of the table. You should be happy with that. You know what I'm saying? Your goal is to avoid relegation, and your goal is to fight with the big boys. Well, finishing in top 10 is showing that you're fighting with the big boys, you know? Absolutely. I think everything's fine.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait and see next year, because if I'm not mistaken, a handful of these players are like Nick said, are loanies, are loan-in players. So, you know, once those guys go back to, you know, unless they start activating buyout clauses, I don't know all the contracts, but I think we're going to probably see a better picture, you know, in the summer going into next season. What this team looks like without all these loaned in players. I mean, obviously a guy that has gotten some buzz, if I'm not mistaken, in the past is Carlos Augusto, still relatively young. I think he's about 24, if I'm not mistaken. A player that maybe could make a shift to another team in Serie A. I'm not sure if they own him. I want to say yes. I'm just not 100% sure. So don't quote me there, but you know, guys like, you know, Pessina, Petagna, Izzo, you know, Cranio. I mean, all these guys got brought in, you know, to make this team, you know, keep afloat. So we'll see. I think it's a real waiting game for that. In terms of the question for Paladino, I don't know. I think right now it's at a team like this, maybe a bit higher. It's kind of where he should aim for. In my personal opinion, I hate when we jump the gun in Italy to say, oh, this is the next coming of Christ in terms of Italian managers. I mean, not everybody's going to be an Ancelotti overnight. So, you know, for Paladino, it's big ups to him, what he's been able to do, you know, in a small sample size of what we're seeing from him. But if he continues like this and continues to play in this this modern way, look, we saw Di Zerbi get an offer from Premier League team, and he's doing relatively decent at Brighton. So I'm not saying these things are not possible, but I think we should manage our expectations with our young Italian coaches to say, oh, yeah, this, you know, oh, Allegri out, we're going to bring in Paladino. Like, I don't know about that. So, you know what I mean? Like, we always find ourselves in these situations. First it was Dionisi, then it was Italiano, now it's going to be Paladino. I think we should just appreciate the coaches that we have.
Fabio Grosso coming up with Frosinone.
Fabio Grosso now, Thiago Motta doing good with Bologna. So I think these coaches that are relatively young in terms of either age or coaching experience, continue to give them time at a mid-table level, and maybe accomplish something before, you know, kind of making that that big jump, you know, to either a bigger team in Serie A or even abroad, to other leagues and other top teams.
Yeah, very, very good point. I mean, by both of you, especially Gianni, like what you said, they brought in older players. And I wonder if, like, other teams coming up from Serie B who might want to take on some loans. Like, Sensi, he's a loan. He's technically a loan from, I don't know if there's an obligation to buy, option to buy, whatever, from Inter. You look at some other names like Izzo, Luca Caldirola, who was the captain of the 2013 U21 team, if you guys remember, that featured Immobile and Insigne. And he was the captain of that team, and he's playing for Monza. Petagna, Ranocchia. Ranocchia started the season with them. Pessina. Yeah, like you guys said, they're not like players that are up and coming where they're going to go to Monza for a season and then go back to their teams once they're better. Like, obviously, that's the case with Rovella, but I think they have a good blueprint for success. And like you said, Adriano, I guess with Paladino, just wait and see. Maybe he could take the Italiano path. Maybe he could go to, like, not Fiorentina per se, but I don't know, Udinese, Bologna, one of those upper mid-range, mid-table teams next season.
Middle tiers, I like to call them. I like to call them middle tier teams, like, you know, like teams that have done things in the past and, like, let's say had nice runs in the 90s and early 2000s, and now they're just trying to find an identity again. But I think he should just stay at Monza for one more season. They have, like, I like the blueprint point that you're saying, the fact that you're giving other players who are not good, and like, they're good but not good enough on top tier Serie A teams, that these are guys would be riding the bench. And a lot of these guys, I know they're not young, but they're not like ancient either, you know, like there's still guys that have something to give on the field. And Monza provides an opportunity for these players to still, you know, like, yeah, they're not playing for the Milans or the Inters or the Juves of Serie A, but they're playing on a team that they're still, they're an important role player. They have the financing right behind them, like these other clubs have. And, you know, they can feel comfortable saying that, well, we could do some noise with this team. You know, and I think it's a nice little mix between that, because you have Paladino, who's obviously not the most experienced manager, but we have a good, you have a good core crop of players who have played under other other managers and can offer maybe a little, like, their internal opinions or, you know, critiques and stuff, and they just share ideas, and I think it pays off for Monza. I think you know, like, you look at, like I said, you said the names perfectly. Guys like Cranio, Pessina, Petagna, you know, like, I'm just going off the top of my head. Like, these are not guys that will be superstars in other teams, but we've seen them play in moments where, like, for example, Petagna with Spal. I hated him in Spal, and I hated him with Napoli, but he was one of the reasons why Spal came up to Serie A, beat the Serie A. Pessina was a good player for Italy during that Euro Cup run, you know, like, and he was also a great player for Atalanta, you know, like, Cranio, I know there's a bit of a soft spot, you know, because he was the man that could have been. But still, you know, like, it's more or less guys that still have something to give. And I think that's why these are players that I don't expect them to, like, unless they are loans. But I don't expect them to be like, well, you know what, I'm just going to go back to my main club and just ride the bench, unless they just want to ride the bench and collect money. I think here they're quite happy with the fact that they're getting the opportunity to play and show that they're good enough, and also collect the paycheck while they're doing it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm naive by saying that.
No, and that's why I'm saying, like, I think we got to wait till, you know, once the season ends into the summer, see how these loans and contracts kind of play out in terms of who's going where, what's going where, and kind of get a better gauge of what a team like Monza, with the blueprint that we're seeing that they've put together to have this quote unquote successful Serie A season, and kind of gauge, like, where we think they can be next year. But if they continue with this type of blueprint and take on these, I don't know, maybe quote unquote castaways from these other teams, even though, like Johnny said, they do, they have talent. They just need the minutes, and if they're not going to get them in their clubs, I don't see why not, that these bottom table teams follow that same path, and kind of build something, maybe not for the future, but, you know, just being able to continuously stay in Serie A to get that money to be able to then reinvest into the youth and then kind of, you know, build your way up from there. But again, for these types of teams and clubs, it's not an overnight thing. So but yeah, I think hopefully Monza you know, will have what it takes to kind of stick around for maybe more than two seasons.
They're also doing better, by the way, than the other two teams that came up. Cremonese looks like they're going back down, 21 points, 19th place. Lecce, 16th place, 31 points. You know, they'll be pushing to stay up, but we'll see. Sampdoria, I mean, it's all but confirmed that they're going to go back down, which is pretty crazy. You know, there's a chance that the Genoa Derby next season could be played in Serie B, or if you look at the Serie B standings, Genoa's in second.
Genoa's up there, no?
Genoa's in second.
They're going to do a flip flop. As you said, Frosinone confirmed to come up. Oh yeah, it looks like Genoa, they are in second. They're 6 points up on Vardy with 3 games left, so it's they'll probably just need a couple.
The situation is going to be interesting. If Vardy guarantees himself promotion, De Laurentiis is going to have to. Oh no, he gave it to his son. Never mind. I forgot about that. He changed the name of the ownership to his son, even though it's technically De Laurentiis pulling the strings. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah,
sorry, went off on a tangent there. I apologize.
Loophole. Yeah, loophole.
Genoa, yeah, looks like they'll be coming back up. So it'll be interesting.
That Great. That means we could have Fabrizio on again.
Yeah.
Shout out.
But some interesting teams, honestly, in the I forget the playoffs. If it's 3 through 10 or 3 through 8 that make the playoffs.
I think it's 3 to 8.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's 3 to 8. They do the playoffs. First two, top two are guaranteed in. 3 to 8, I believe, play a playoff. Yes. Yeah, so that's going to be a pretty it's always nice. I like that. It's always interesting to see because sometimes, you know, it's hard to, like, really grab a feel, like, who is actually deservedly, like, deservedly to be promoted and stuff. But
Yeah. And right now it would be Bari, Sudtirol, Parma, Cagliari, Pisa, and Regina. So it's a couple old Serie A names, a couple of teams that could come up. Honestly, it would be fun to have Bari back in, just because that Southern rivalry. We would call it the De Laurentiis rivalry.
Yeah. Father against son. it's kind of Spider-Man meme, essentially, of what Spider-Man
father. Father against father.
Yeah.
Juventus, 2-1 today against Lecce. Goals from Paredes and Vlahovic. Paredes, first goal for Juve, on a free kick on top of it, which is pretty crazy. He now has as many free kick goals as Ronaldo, which is also crazy. You know, obviously people on Twitter, Juve fans weren't so happy with the performance, you know, which is fine. And, you know, I wouldn't say it wasn't convincing, but, you know, at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points. And they did have a goal called back from Moretti that was marginally offside, like his toe was offside. And, you know, I do like the fight back because, you know, Paredes scored and then Lecce scored on penalty. And then afterwards they had it was Vlahovic who responded. First goal in Serie A since February, which is nuts.
Jesus.
He's been on such a dry spell. Nothing was going for him. I think also, we talked about it too, I think with, I forget if it was Lou. I thought it was with Anthony that we spoke about this particularly, but it was last week with Lou where I said, you know, just mentality-wise, he wasn't there. So hopefully, you know, he got the monkey off his back now. Hopefully, you know, end of the season.
You bullied the bottom table teams, you know, rebuild your confidence, I guess.
Yeah.
Might as well, whatever it takes, I guess.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
You know how, like, Lautaro is a Salernitana man? Who sends the Lecce man?
There you go.
You know, fair point.
But yeah, like with the game coming up against Atalanta on the weekend and obviously the Europa League semifinals, like we need him to score. But
you need him to find his groove, basically, is what you need him to do.
Exactly. Inter, we said 6-0 against Verona. I have to check who scored the 6 goals. So that the own goal from Gajic, Hakan scored, Dzeko scored twice, and Lautaro scored twice. I mean, Lautaro, honestly, I know there's a lot of memes about him. A lot of Inter fans don't like him so much, which I don't fully understand, I guess, because I don't watch, you know, Inter games for a full 90 minutes or whatever, or I'll just watch the highlights. But he's a good striker. I mean, he's a player. If Juve got him, I'd be happy. I don't know. Like, he's having a fantastic season, too. I don't know exactly how many goals he's had, but ever since winning the World Cup, I feel like there's a couple of players that even just between Martinez and Di Maria, they came back from the World Cup rejuvenated, I guess, or with a second wind of energy, I guess, after winning it. So he really benefited from that World Cup win.
Yeah, I think it's a bit unfair to criticize Martinez because he's been great for them. He's been better than last year, in my personal opinion. I just think that he does have times where it's like, okay, well, you're able to have these brilliant moments, and why aren't you showing it whenever we need you to do so? I think one of the issues I think I heard some Interisti bring up is that he's more of a guy who's not going to score the game winner, but will add more to the win, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but because he guarantees you the win, but he's not going to be the guy to get things going or to be the crucial player to do it. I don't know. I think it's a bit silly to say. I'm of the mentality that if a player's performing, he's performing. Whether he's a primary scorer, whether he's a complementary scorer, if he's doing what he's paid to do, then, you know, he's doing his job. I honestly don't think it's merited to have that kind of criticism, but I'm not an Interista. It's unfair for me to say, but from outside looking in, especially now that you got like Inter's in the Champions League semifinal, you want guys like Martinez to still have that scoring touch. Even though he's not, like I said, not the guy who's going to be scoring the game winner, but still add more to it. You want him to be able to still find that back of the net and not have issues like Vlahovic, who finally might have gotten his issues out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think for Martinez, it's sometimes a consistency thing that I think Inter fans look at and they're like, well, we needed you here, here, and here, and you showed up there, there, and there.
Salernitana, man.
Exactly, right? So that's kind of, I think, the big thing around him. And I mean, listen, he costed a pretty penny, I think, when he came in terms of, where Inter was financially. Has he paid off the dividends? I don't know. I think it's we'd have to ask some Interisti, in more depth for that. I mean, he obviously is a great player. He's still young. Not knocking the guy. I mean, listen, he has 19 goals on the year. I mean, you're scoring double digits in Serie A, pushing 20 goals in the league, even though sometimes they're garbage goals, sometimes they're easy chances that he puts in. I mean, they all count at the end of the day. So is he talented? Is he a good player? For sure. I think it's the mentality, sometimes the consistency issues that is kind of maybe, having people kind of judge him a bit. They want Lautaro to be that guy every game, and sometimes he's not. So, I don't know. That's kind of how I see it with that. But again, when you're bullying, relegation teams, I guess that's kind of when you kind of get your confidence back. I love Vlahovic, like we said earlier. So, I don't know. I don't know. But again, maybe do they stick with him? Do they move on from him? I don't know. Those are other questions that I've always arose with Inter and with Lautaro. And I mean, how much of a fee can you get for him? And but hey, if he's continuing to perform like he has, these past couple of weeks, and when he's on, I mean, it's almost there's no stopping him. But I think he also does need a partner. I don't know if he can play like just himself up top. I think he does need that partner to kind of play off of, and I think that's kind of where he excels a bit more. But whatever it takes, I think Inzaghi and Inter are gonna do for him.
By the way, he's at 19 goals, two behind. Which
yeah.
I didn't even realize.
19.
Yeah. 19 goals, two behind Osimhen for the Capocannoniere. Third in the race is Boulay Dia. So I think this is the perfect time to talk about his goal against Napoli on the weekend that put the Scudetto celebrations on pause. Really nice goal, really nice curve. I mean, almost. Almost like a tira gira alla Insigne. I don't know, Gianni, were you able to watch that game? How did you feel about, Napoli dropping points and losing the opportunity to clinch the Scudetto at home?
So I was able to watch the game, and it sucks, but it just, it delays the inevitable. But I can't even be mad. That was just a wonderful goal. I like to joke around the Ron Burgundy quote from Anchorman. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. when he's talking to Baxter about eating the cheese in the fridge. Yeah. That was me with Diaz's goals. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. That's what you expect. I shouted him out at City. I sit down and I'll shout him out here. Art Morelli called it perfectly. You remove a left back like Oliveira. And you bring in Juan Jesus, the center back. And we know we've talked about Juan Jesus before in his time at Roma, where, he's a very subpar center back. And you force him to play in a position that he's not really, playing in. He's playing to cover up that left back spot because, Rui's injured, so you don't have any other options. And, you're going to have stuff like that. Diaz is third in the Capocannoniere race for a reason, He's not a guy who scored a lucky goal or had an opportunity. He knows how to be a killer when he needs to. I'm not even mad at Osimhen being back there. It's just unfortunate he was just a victim of circumstance. Being you know, getting exposed like that. But I'm not even mad about it. It was fantastic goal. You have to give Salernitana credit. You know, they didn't just they're just making sure that their inter-region rivals earn the trophy, not just have it give it to them because, you know, they're facing against one of the inferior teams of that region. So you have to give credit where it's credit's due. But with Dia having this kind of season, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked up in the summer for another club. I think he might be a good
interesting.
Yeah, I think he could be a good secondary scorer, and like a cheap good secondary scorer, like that won't cost you much in terms of transfer fees. Because Salernitana, I'm not saying they would take whatever they can get, but you know what? Like it's their second season up in Serie A. They kind of want to stay here, so you know I might maybe give them an argument to not sell him. But hey, finances sometimes can help you just keep strengthen your overall squad and make you stay competitive in Serie A. So we'll see.
Yeah, just to tack on to all that, I mean, it was funny. I'd seen somewhere, I don't remember where I'd seen it in terms of the Napoli, Napoli fandom. I don't know where I had seen it, but you know, with the draw and not being able to clinch at home, and it was funny. There was a quote, somebody had said, "It's like we've waited 33 years. We can wait a couple more days, you know, for the Scudetto." So I don't think Napoli. I mean, albeit they're probably angry to not be able to do it at home in front of a packed Maradona, which is obviously where you kind of want to have all the joy. But again, what's going to happen is going to happen, and they'll end up winning the trophy at the end of the day. So, and you know, the city is already more boo than it's ever been, right? So,
yeah.
You know, my tio Franco is telling me, you know, his cousins are telling him it's party mode, and I'm sure your relatives too, Johnny, probably have.
Yeah, I even have a friend who's there.
I mean,
right,
it's party. True, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it's party all the time there, right? So, yeah. This might bleed into maybe obviously, you know, cards and MVPs and stuff like that, but. You know, this is a player who even was on World Cup roster as well. Was able to have that experience at the World Cup, and come back to a team like Salernitana that, you know, people are going to be like, "Oh, it's Salernitana. Who's that?" And you know, it's a guy like Dia that continues to score. And I kind of like your point, Johnny, about, you know, that secondary score for maybe not the top of teams, but even if he goes up from where he's at now to maybe a middle table team. Or maybe even potentially, if they luck out to a top four type of team, just as that secondary score, like, I don't know, man. I can see that him, maybe Watzelli will probably tell me I'm crazy, but I don't know, him off the bench rather than, you know, forcing a guy like, you know, Felipe Anderson or Pedro to step up when Immobile is not there. I mean, Dia in Lazio, I think, and on paper said, looks, actually. You know, it looks
really good. That looks
yeah,
really
on
good.
Paper it looks good. So would it look good on the field too? I mean, it would remain to be seen. But I don't know. I don't see why he can't make that jump sooner rather than later. Because I mean, like I said, scoring double digits in this league, it's never easy, especially when you're playing at a. On a bottom table team, a team that, like Johnny said, came up to a couple seasons ago into Serie A. So, but yeah, just it's a big credit to what Diaz has been doing this season.
But by the way, he's on loan from Villarreal.
With
a buyout clause. So,
what's the fee? What's the fee? Does it say?
No idea. I'm on Wikipedia.
I don't know the numbers. Okay, I don't know.
So then,
transfer market.
So for that information, that means I think Salernitana should definitely buy him out this summer.
Yeah, buy him out then, and then see what you can do with him. That or you know what happens sometimes too with this is if a player gets loaned out to a certain league or country or whatever, and they enjoy it, you know, maybe
they're pushing. They're pushing to come back.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily with Salernitana, maybe with another Italian team. You know, maybe he doesn't want to go back to Spain. You know, he's French originally. He played in France too. Maybe, you know, maybe he's just enjoying Italy right now. So, you know, there's a lot that could happen. I mean, he scored 14 goals in 2020-2021 with Reims in Ligue 1, and now it's 15 goals, so career high. I mean, he's heading into his prime, too. He's 26. He's going to be 27 in November, so that's a prime age for a striker. So if he's gonna bank on getting some money now, he might as well do it, because he might not have another opportunity. Profit off of this season. Maybe Juve will pay $70 million for him, and then he'll go 2 months without scoring, just like our other $70 million man. Their games from around the city today. There's still two more games tomorrow. Though, as we mentioned, we do have Udinese and Napoli. That's 2:45, and Empoli Verona 2:45. So kind of weird scheduling.
Bologna. Like, Bologna.
What did I say?
Verona.
I said Verona.
Empoli Bologna.
What did I say it? No, I didn't say it again. Come on.
You said it wrong again.
Said Verona again.
Come on.
Yeah.
You said it wrong.
Something's not being transmitted correctly.
Yeah, your brain.
We didn't talk about Lazio. Lazio was the team. This was a game that Napoli could have won the Scudetto with today, but they won 2-0. Apparently, I don't know. Did you guys see this at all? Apparently, no, Lazio scored, was given by VAR, and then taken back by VAR right after. I don't know. There was a whole thing on Twitter about that. Maybe we might have to call Nando to see what happened. I didn't see what happened. Adri, did you catch it? But apparently it was
so. I only saw the message that Nando, our buddy Nando, sent to us. Call on the field, goal, VAR says to take it off, then they switch it, back and beep, 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 bop, 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 back and forth. I don't know, but that's the only thing I saw. Unfortunately, I couldn't see what actually transpired onto the field. But again, maybe it's another solo in Italia moment this week in Serie A.
But that was Immobile. It was goals taken back. Felipe Anderson did eventually score, and then Thomas Bacic. I believe that was his first goal with Lazio. I believe that was his first goal with Lazio in two seasons. He was a player that came in with a bit of, I don't know, I wouldn't say hype, but, you know, if you talk to a Lazio fan at the beginning of last season, they were happy to get him, a young player out of Croatia, and now he's not many of the Lazio fans like him. I mean, whatever. He's, you know, sometimes you buy these young players, they're not cut out for a top-level team, and that's fine. I'm sure he could go survive on any other team below Lazio or in another league, but whatever. I wouldn't say a mistake purchase, but definitely not what.
No, they've had worse.
Yeah, they've had worse. Yeah, Morici
was on the lineup last season, so they've had worse.
Yeah, they've had worse. Exactly. But yeah, honestly, Lazio, they're a weird team because, like, you know, they're in second place, and like obviously, I think they deserve to be there. They obviously play well and everything, but I feel like Sarri, we know he's a coach that can't manage multiple competitions. And now that Lazio's out of all the competitions and they're just focusing on Serie A, they're playing better. They're getting better results. So it's, you know, if they qualify for Champions League next year, that's probably the worst thing that could happen to them. Because then you got another intense competition on top of the Serie A. Depends if they keep Sarri or whatever, you know, what players come in and come out. But, you know, it's not Lazio like in 2019, 2020 when they're actually fighting for the Scudetto and in second place. Like they're just better of Milan, Inter, Juve, and Roma. But, you know, if you're a Lazio fan, you're happy. You're relatively happy with the season. You're happy with the season.
Yeah, no. I agree. I mean, I think, like we mentioned on the show before, I mean, just the pieces that they've added, not that it's like it's a whole new starting 11, but, you know, just shoring up that defense, I think, was huge. We've said it time and time again on the show with our Lazio friends. You know, the Romagnoli-Casale pairing is top. I mean, Provedel coming as as what we didn't think he would be the guy, but he is. I mean, they brought in Maximiano, they brought in Provedel. Maximiano fucks up at the beginning, and kind of Provedel's kind of taking that position by storm and really owned that box, so and earned the net. So 19 clean sheets on the season, guys, in Serie A. He's leading that in the league for in terms of goalies. So it's huge. I mean, do they still need help in other places? Yes. Do they need a non-stubborn manager? For sure. But again, Sarri's been doing, besides the exits of, you know, the other competitions in Serie A, he's been doing kind of what has been expected of him. I don't know. I think they still do need more depth, and who's coming and who's going, I think, like you said, Nick, is kind of the big question going forward, because it always seems to be with Lazio. You know, a guy like Zaccagni is having a great year. Immobile has kind of been nagging injuries this season. Will he be back to what we know he is next season? SMS in and out of the lineup these past couple of weeks, not being the SMS that we know, even though I still think he's a fantastic midfielder and a top one in this league. Hasn't enough to scratch Felipe Anderson. The list goes on, guys. You guys know the deal. But, yeah, I don't know. I think you just kind of said it right. Maybe they're the best out of they're the best of the worst trying to get into that top four. Maybe that's what we want to say. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year if they continue on with Sarri and if they continue maybe to feed him you know, more pieces that he can kind of work with. But with that ownership and that, you know, that sporting director and this coach, I don't know how much longer it can last. Hopeful for our Lazio friends, but I think it's still a waiting, in my opinion.
I mean, I think obviously Sarri stays. I don't see a reason why he leaves. Yes, there is an issue with Lotito in terms of, like, you know, like not getting the players that he needs to succeed more often than not. But it seems like it's slowly paying dividends. It's slowly getting there. It's not as if Lotito's resistant to what Sarri wants. It's more like he's trying to find his best to, in terms of financially, find a common ground for him that, like, to kind of still achieve what he wants to do. Like, it's not your option A, but maybe B and C can still be a cheaper alternative and still work out for you, type of thing. So, I like I said, project's paying off. It's doing well. Like, they're second for a reason. They're doing good. They're doing good, in my opinion. So I don't see that happening. I will respectfully disagree. I think Sarri stays.
Yeah. No, I think he probably will too. I just don't know for how much longer. I mean, it depends how long they're willing to wait in terms of this. Yeah, maybe another year. And listen, this Champions League money, if they at the end of it they stay in the top four, I mean, which it looks like they probably will. That Champions League money, man, is pretty big. So we'll see where that brings them. You know, with those funds coming in, and if they sell any players and kind of revamp their squad a bit, I don't know. But I don't know, we've praised them on their show before. Like I said, with the additions that they brought in, and like Johnny said, I guess so far it's paying dividends.
Other games in the Serie A this week. Salernitana 3-3 Fiorentina. Torino beat Samp 2-0. As I said, pretty much all but confirmed Samp's gonna go down. Mm-hmm. And Atalanta, the 3-2 win over Spezia. I feel like Atalanta, they always partake in the high scoring and most back and forth games, but it's not Atalanta.
They've gone under the radar, high scoring. They've gone under the radar, though. I think they haven't. I don't remember what all the stats are there, but they, you know, with everybody talking about everybody else, you know, the Milans, the Inters, the Romas, the Juves of the world. Lazio, I guess, too, for battling that out. I mean, Atalanta, these past couple of weeks have picked up the points under the radar. Nobody's really been talking about them. They fit themselves into this battle for the top four, like we said. So a bit of a credit to them. Again, Lazio not having to worry about other competitions, really focusing on one common goal, which is getting back into the top four, into Champions League for them. Will it happen at the end of the day? I don't know, man. I'm getting nervous. It's getting a bit crazy. I mean, obviously, we want our teams in there, so we'll see what happens with Atalanta. But just wanted to kind of shout them out a bit there because they've gone under the radar, picking up results, high-scoring affairs, a la Atalanta. And yeah, just I don't know. I feel like maybe just me that I feel that they've gone under the radar. I could be wrong, but just picking up important points in a crucial part of the season down the stretch in this business end of the year, it's pretty big for them.
I don't know if you guys had any other comments from that game. I don't know if you guys want to talk early preview of their Champions League next week. The Derby, Milan-Inter. I don't think we had the chance to fully talk about it with the Adriano. No. Are you nervous?
No, I mean, I don't know about nervous. I mean, I think it's just let's see what this brings. I mean, like we said, man, many times on this show, and like we all know, you know, just even this campaign, I mean, in this season, Milan has performed, maybe in 2023, Milan has performed one way in Serie A, and then in Champions League, they've kind of surprised. I mean, nobody pegged them to beat Napoli, you know, over two legs to advance. They got the job done. Nobody pegged them to beat Spurs before that. And, you know, they got the job done there too. I think they've merited getting where they're at. You know, other rival fans. But, okay. Continuing to doubt this Milan side is when they, you know, they fight the most. And kind of when their backs are against the walls, they've, especially in Champions League this season, they've, or sometimes in these bigger matchups, they've kind of come through and pulled through. So not nervous, but at the same time, man, we always say it, Champions League is a different beast on its own. The derby is a different beast on its own. So add that together, a derby, Champions League semifinal, add that all together. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy mix. And, you know, just the amount of tickets that have been sold, I'm pretty sure we're reading today. I mean, it's pretty much completely sold out. So I think it's going to break some records in terms of attendance, in terms of, you know, fees and all that, and how much money they're bringing in off of ticket sales. I mean, in our Milan chat, I mean, we were just seeing, you know, people going crazy for tickets, and you know, just the amount of prices that people are willing to pay, you know, thousands of euros just to get a seat at San Siro for these matchups. I mean, they're just out of this world. But hey, that's what happens in the Champions League when it's a derby semifinal. An Italian team can, you know, will get to the final. But yeah, listen, from what we're seeing in Serie A recently with Inter, they're kind of getting the groove back again because, you know, a little time ago they were kind of, you know, on a bit of a slump. But we'll see what happens, man. When the Champions League anthem goes on these Champions League nights, I mean, it's a whole different ball game. So excited, nervous, optimistic. I think every emotion possible is kind of what I'm going through, and I would assume many more Milanisti as well.
Gonna be a bloodbath.
It's gonna be a bloodbath. that's the short answer for all that. Yeah.
But no, Adrian, what you said, how they perform differently is a good point. But I feel like right now Inter is, they're hot right now in the Serie A, and Milan not.
They're the favorite. Yeah, they're the favorite for sure.
Exactly, Milan not so much. Yeah, but it's in these situations, it's a completely different game, even just mentally for the players. Like when they walk out in that stadium, and they're, you know, both games are gonna have the tifo and crazy tifos and everything, and it's interesting because it's two games in the same stadium.
There's no travel.
Wild. It's crazy thing, but it's, you know, it's a home and away game for both teams at the same time. Like the first game is in Milan. The second game is in Inter. If you want to put it that way, the Milan's home team, and then Inter's the home team. Wednesday, then Tuesday. But it'll be interesting. The other side, Man City, Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid just has that Champions League DNA, and Man City not so much. So I predict, honestly, I predict the Milan Real Madrid final.
Yeah, that's Johnny. I don't know what you're gonna lean
to. I don't. I'm not saying this. Oh well, stupid fucking wire. Sorry guys, I moved my webcam wire. No disrespect, I love you, Adri, but I think Inter walks away with this one, and I think it's gonna be. You know what? I'll just for diversity, I'll have the opposite end. I'll say Inter and City in the final.
There you go. Listen, and no offense taken. I mean, listen, Inter are the favorites, and that's fine. I think I'd rather prefer it that way, to be honest. I mean, with the no away goal rule, it just like Jenny said, it's just a home and an away bloodbath in back to back weeks in the Champions League. That's pretty much what it is. And I like how you said that. I don't know if I'm not gonna make. I mean. I'm a Milan fan. Obviously, I'm going to say Milan's going to be going to the final. I'm not going to hide that. On the other end, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, for Ancelotti, for what Real Madrid is, as much as we hate seeing them win so much, but again, you cannot deny the history. You cannot deny the class. You can't deny, you know, their pedigree in this competition. So I'm going to go with that. I mean, will it happen? I don't know, but. Listen, I'm going to be optimistic with my team, and I'm going to say that they're going to get to a Champions League final, first time in a long time. Maybe definitely ahead of schedule from when, you know, Maldini and company kind of undertook this project in this squad. You know, I think a lot of things have come maybe a bit ahead of schedule in terms of even winning the Scudetto last year. A little bit of ahead of schedule for that, and getting all the way to a Champions League semifinal. With a chance to knock off your city rivals and go to the final, I mean, nobody was going to write this up. So, ahead of schedule or not, I still think there's a chance and there's an opportunity in front of these teams to get to another final. And I really think they should take it by the horns. And I don't know. I'm excited. Like I said, optimistic, nervous, everything under the sun in terms of emotions I'm feeling. So. But definitely ready to take on Inter once more, or two more times again, to try to get to the final.
Europa League, Roma, Bayern Leverkusen, Juve, Sevilla. Gianni, how are you feeling about Roma against Leverkusen?
You know, pretty calm about it. I think Mourinho tends to have the right tactics during these type of competitions, and I feel pretty calm and confident. Now, obviously, it can come bite me in the ass, and that's fine. But if I'm going to tell you my honest feelings right now, I think Roma is in a really good spot. I think the players' mentality are mostly focused on succeeding in Europa League. So, like, to add to the truth, like, I think that's what they're aiming for. You can tell from just the way they play, especially that last game. They came firing all cylinders, just a lot, this offensive force. Now, Dybala not being there is a bit of a concern. You know, he's a very crucial player for this Roma squad. Hopefully he will be there. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he's going to be ready in time. Well, I'm just going to double check my internet search. But regardless whether he's there or not, the team needs to have like a solution to like how he can generate offense without Paulo Dybala.
Agreed.
That's what they need to focus on. Especially that, you know, his release clause is so low. He might be interested in just using Roma as a step up to bigger clubs, or he can probably maybe use it to renegotiate a new contract. Either way, you need to start like thinking about, okay, what other options you have. You have Tammy, who last year was phenomenal. Now this year he's been a bit slower, but still, you know, somebody that can obviously step up and be a top scorer for the team if need be. Just opening up this. Just trying to see here the injury history. How about you, Nick? How do you feel while I look this up? How do you
honestly,
feel about your base chances?
Not the best. Sevilla. We spoke about it last week. Sevilla, it's Europa League DNA. It's going to be tough. Can they do it? 100%. I think they can do it. Like, if everything works their way, if they play like how they played against Nantes, against Sporting, I'm drawing a blank, the German team who they played, Freiburg. Yeah, if they play like that, how they played against Freiburg, they could do it. You know, solid defensive, you know, capitalizing on chances, they could do it. But if they play like how they play in the Serie A lately, like against Napoli, like against Lazio, no, not so much. But it just feels like something is coming along with this run. They're just, things are just working for them in that sense.
By the way, I'm a dumbass. Dybala played today. I didn't get a chance to see the game. That's why it didn't click in my head. But Dybala came back today, so he should be ready for the Leverkusen game.
He played in the
title. I apologize to the listeners. I didn't get a chance to see the game today. I was working. I was, as I said at the beginning of the show, running around like crazy all day. I know, right? I'm Italian and I'm employed. Since when?
You're on Twitter and you have a job.
yeah, sorry. Continue, Nick. Yeah.
But no, it, yeah. We'll see. Honestly, I'd be more nervous if you get Juve gets to a final, just because of the history with Juve in a final. Like, they're good in two legs, but not so much over the final, but we'll see.
On a one-off. But and especially against Mourinho, he's such a tournament man, like a cup tournament type of manager too. You know, he's won it all. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, it would be interesting to even see an all-Italian final, which, again, you never know. It could potentially happen. Especially how these campaigns for both Juve and Roma are going in Europa League. I don't see why that cannot be a possibility. Will it happen? I don't know. I don't want to bet the house on it, but at the same time, it's definitely a possibility that I think has better odds than maybe people are thinking.
And I know Fiorentina is in Conference League. I forget who they're playing, though. In the semifinals.
Semifinals, they're playing against... Fuck, I'd seen it earlier.
Basel. Basel.
So is it Basel?
The Mo Salah derby.
There you go.
Two of his former teams. Honestly, I like Fiorentina's chances. Not that I know much about Basel, however you want to pronounce it. But, like, they've been steamrolling through this tournament. I like their chances, you know, maybe if they get to the final against Alkmaar or West Ham, maybe it'll be a bit more difficult, but no, I like their chances to go through in this one.
Yeah, watching them live, I just saw like how they're just like miles and miles ahead of most of their competition that, like, even though they won that first leg against Sivasspor when I saw them, it was only 1-0, it was not a 1-0 game. It was definitely more than a 1-0 game. It was honestly like they should have won that game at least 3-4-0. So I think they can easily get to the final and actually win the thing. And it'd be pretty cool, you know, to see the in its first iteration, in its creation, its first two seasons, you have two Italian teams winning it. You know, that'd be pretty nice to see.
I do agree with Gianni. I mean, there's a high possibility that they can go on and win the whole thing. You know, their guys like Cabral, Jovic have, maybe sometimes people have said in the league they've kind of maybe disappointed a bit, but in Conference League, I mean, they've come out and played, and you know, they've really scored a lot. And even just their other complementary pieces, you know, Gonzalez, Ikone, even my guy Buenaventura jumping in there, Biragi, what a captain for this Fiorentina side as well. So if everything's rolling like it's rolled all campaign long in Conference League, I think Fiorentina has all the tools to be able to go and win it. I don't know, maybe facing up if it happens to be facing the Premier League team like a West Ham. I don't know, you know, how that can go. But again, it's a one-off, so anything can happen. As cliche as it is, the ball is round. And yeah, I don't know. I've liked what Italiano has done and kind of taking that modern approach in terms of really, you know, spreading out in terms of all in all competitions. Yeah, he's not getting into the top four in the Serie A, but he's... He's currently, I think, they're in eighth place, like we said earlier. Close, but kind of still far from Europe for next year. But at the same time, you know, battling in Serie A, in the Coppa Italia final, which they were able to get to, and now in the semifinals of the Conference League with a pretty high percentage of maybe getting into the final and who knows, maybe even winning the thing. So I've liked what Italiano has done in terms of that aspect, in terms of really not going into that old stubborn mentality of kind of just focusing all in on one competition, really spreading out the eggs. You know, maybe a bit thin in terms of, you know, the squad and the depth and the amount of minutes these guys are playing on these three fronts. But if it pays off, I mean, I think everything will work out and it'll pay off for his benefit. So definitely maybe a blueprint going forward for these either a younger Italian coaches or these middle table teams that are getting into Europe that kind of should push for on all fronts to try to see kind of what sticks at the end of the year.
You know, it's if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the Coppa Italia winner get invited to Europa League?
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. Ooh. So what happens? Yeah. So what happens if Fiorentina were to win the Coppa Italia and also win the Conference League? That might be interesting to see what happens with that invite, with those invites, essentially, because that's double the invite.
I don't know because
We've
never been in that situation. I know there's a limit on how many teams from a league will play in the European competitions.
I think it's five, no?
It's like five in Champions League.
The top league? Oh, it's for Champions League.
You have five teams in Champions League, but I don't know about the others. Like realistically, let's say they do that. They basically have two invites to Conference League. But, you know, Inter would already be in Europa League 2, let's say. Or Conference League. Champions League, sorry. So does the other Europa League spot just go to whoever they beat in the Conference League final? I don't know. Do they just, you know, have another spot open for another team through the playoff process? I don't know. But we'd have to wait and see about that. I don't know what the rules are. If you
can't, that also happen in the Champions League for the Champions League runs too. In terms of if Roma or Juve, Roma wins Europa League. If Milan stays where they are, or if Inter flip-flopped, one of them wins Champions League, there's going to be like way too many teams getting into the Champions.
That's something, like I said, that's where the five-team limit applies. So let's say come end of season, let's say the top four is Napoli, Lazio, Juventus, and Inter. And then Milan wins Champions League. Roma wins Europa League. The fourth place team, Inter, would have to drop down to Europa League because then you'd have the top three plus the two competition winners who are automatically get a spot in Champions League. That's where the five team rule applies. So finishing fourth this year could have its downsides, but at the same time, I think the season ends the week before the Champions League final, but it ends after the Europa League final. So at least, you know, teams will already, you know, have an idea of the impact of finishing fourth. Because if neither Juve or Roma win Europa League, at that point, it's just like, okay, fine. It's going to be top four.
Battle.
Plus if one of the Italian teams win the Champions League.
Plus, if Juve get the deductions again. So that's a whole other mess. Yeah. You didn't even think about that.
We're not going to find out who plays in the Champions League until August 31st.
Jesus Christ, man. That's a wait.
But I think that'll do it for us, guys. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Any like cards or MVPs you want to give?
Johnny, I don't know, cards, if you had, I don't know, if you had anything.
Not necessarily, not for cards. MVP, Dia gets my MVP. Great, like I said, I was blown away by that goal. Did the job that he had to do. He came into a very tough scenario and showcased that, hey, guys, we're not just some pushover farmer team that you think we are for being one of the lesser teams in the region. We're going to, you know, make you earn that Scudetto. We're not going to roll over and let you take it. So it takes balls to do that. He did very well and great goal, and he gets my MVP for that.
Anybody?
Nothing crazy. I mean, maybe if I'm not going to go with a homer pick and say, you know, Leal from what he's been doing these past couple of weeks, but Zaba Costa. It's two goals in two games. One goal today, one goal last weekend, or over the weekend, sorry, in Serie A. Just kind of what came off the top of my head right now. A guy that is maybe in that castaway list, for lack of a better term, but is on an Atalanta team that, like I said earlier, has gone under the radar with the performances that they've been putting up, picking up the points that they've had. Zappa Costa scoring and just having an impact in these games, I think, is just something to shout out, because I think the obvious one, you know, for these past 2 weeks is Dia, like we spoke about earlier. Like Jenny has said, 4 goals in 2 games. I mean, Jesus Christ, like, you can't ask for much more than that. So, yeah, I'm going to give, I guess, a quick shout to Zappa Costa, and kind of what I was saying earlier about in my point of Atalanta putting themselves back into the conversation for top four contention, which is definitely huge for them after the Cinderella stories that they've had in seasons past.
I guess I'll have to give a MVP. I'm going to give it to the Inter striker duo, Martinez and Dzeko. 2 goals each, 6-0 win. Pretty self-explanatory in that one. Getting up, getting hot at the right time. That's what counts as they head into a big game this weekend against Lazio. Sorry, we already talked about this. Roma. I already drew a blank. They're playing Roma this weekend, right? Yes, it's Roma.
That, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing Roma on Saturday. And then the Milan next week. It'll be interesting to see Milan and Inter what lineups they field on the weekend. Because these are still important games for top four. But obviously they're going to be focused on the Champions League. But I think that'll do it for us. Adrian, where can people find us on social media?
Just before that, Johnny, how are you celebrating tomorrow?
Johnny? honestly, I don't know, because I have to. The game's at 2:45. I'm gonna be teaching till like 3:30 tomorrow. Then I'm gonna be going to the gym right afterwards. Unless I go during my lunch break, actually, I think I should probably go during the lunch break. Yeah, I'm probably gonna go during the lunch break. So then, if it so happens that Napoli win the Scudetto tomorrow, probably gonna go see my nonno, maybe have a drink with him or something. You know, just celebrate with him. Just to celebrate the fact that they won a championship for the third time and first time in my lifetime that they actually won one, because last time they won, I wasn't born yet. It was 2 years before I was born, so.
You could take a picture of Nonno Luigi, kind of like what you did with Nonno Francesco, how he's seen every single Napoli Scudetto win.
Definitely.
That was viral again.
That's a lot easier. That's a lot easier. I mean, you know, 87, 90, and then 2023. A lot more people have seen all three wins compared to people who have seen Italy win 7 or 6 in international trophies.
7, technically, if you're going to consider the gold medal.
In the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. But hey, maybe it goes viral again. You never know. And Gazzetta dello Sport contacts Gianni and... his post gets posted on their platform. We never know. we're hoping for that. For all our Napoli fans and friends. I mean, again, just another chapeau to this incredible season. I think, like we always said, especially when they took such a commanding lead at the top, it's been merited. It's been you know, the best team in Serie A, you know, winning the trophy. I think you can't really ask for much more than that. And I would like to, and I know we kind of spoke about this amongst the three of us, but we did it last year in terms of getting some raw emotions from Milan fans after winning the Scudetto last season. Potentially, we can probably do hopefully the same thing with Napoli fans going forward, just for some Serie A content, for some Napoli content on our page. So. Like we guys say every week, guys, follow us at The Calcio Guys for stuff like that on all social media platforms, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the good stuff for the audio version of the podcast on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Continue to like, subscribe, share, whatever you guys need to do, comment. It goes all a long way, guys, to help us continue to grow this to grow this this show, this podcast, our channel, our content going forward. And without you guys, we wouldn't be doing this week in, week out. So we appreciate all the love, what we always say, and we'll be back next week to talk a lot more culture.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Bye.
The Calcio Guys is a weekly podcast by Adriano DiNardo, Gianni Della Colli, and myself, Nicholas DiGiovanni. We want to bring Calcio back to its roots in our communities and share stories from around the world about why we're passionate about the beautiful game. You can listen to us anywhere where you listen to your podcasts, including Spreaker, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Mixcloud. Give us your opinion on social media at The Calcio Guys on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The outro song is The Last Ones by Jazar.